OMG, the U-Haul hit the unicorn.
Roadkill Radio!
You ever listen to Roadkill Radio?
No, what's that?
It's the radio program produced by students at the Educational Center for the Arts.
Hi, I'm Freeman.
And I'm Haley. Welcome to 2012's first edition of Roadkill Radio, presenting news and views from the high school community.
This month's show features High School Confidential,
Street Interviews,
a new feature, My Life Out of Orbit,
a memoir by ECA writing major Esme Douglas,
an interview with photography student Kevin Wandelier,
a look at youth musical preferences,
and a roundtable discussion about religion.
Dope lineup, Freeman.
Dope indeed. Now let's get started with High School Confidential.
Hi, my name's Haley, and today I was in English class, and we were watching a movie. And my teacher's main rules for watching a movie are no eating, no writing, no reading, and no sleeping. And, of course, I was one of the people who dozed off, probably the only person. But my teacher has this really long purple yardstick that he likes to bang on people's desks if they fall asleep or if he wants to get the class's attention. So I was sleeping, and all of a sudden he bangs it on my desk, and he starts singing The 12 Days of Christmas and starts doing this weird dance that he does called the appositive dance. So he embarrassed me in front of the entire freaking class.
Hi, my name's Kevin, and recently my school got a new dean of students, and we didn't have one last year, so we got one this year now. And there's like a new law in our school. Like, the people at our school don't even care about our education that much. They just are like policemen and walk around like they're all tough. And so this dean of students saw me walking with my hat in my hand down the hall, and she's running after me, and she's like, you need to give me that hat, or you need to put it in your locker. I'm like, all right, I'll go put it in my locker. And she's like, actually, just give me the hat. And I'm like, why are you going to take my hat from me? I'm not doing anything. I'm not wearing it. It's not even a big deal. Like, it's not, like, affecting my education. She took it from me. So she told me I could get it at lunch. I go to lunch. I see her. She didn't have my hat. She says it's in this other principal's office. We have, like, 8 principals. And I go to this office. He's not there. And I had to get on my bus for ECA in, like, 5 minutes. So I waited there. He didn't come. Kept on going back to her. She's like, oh, he should be there. He's coming. So I waited there with 2 of my other friends that go to ECA. He didn't come for 10 minutes. So I called the bus and told them to not leave without us. Of course, they leave without us anyways. And I don't get my hat back until like 20 minutes later. And then I got to get a ride from my sister at ECA.
Hello, my name is Lisa, and this is my High School Confidential. So a couple of days ago, my teacher, apparently I talk a little bit too much, so she's always coming around into our corner saying, stop talking, please. And so I usually don't listen, but when she forces detentions on us, I usually shut up. But this particular day, we were reviewing for a test, and she handed back some grades, and one of the grades was bonus questions for our test. And a friend of mine got an 8, while I got a 6, and I felt that I did a pretty good darn job for the bonus. And I said to her, so I don't get credit for doing it at all, even though I got the answer wrong. I don't get any credit for it. And then she looks at me and rolled her eyes and walked away. And I just stared at her like, son of a gun, I know you did not just do that to me. I really had to calm down, but everybody was getting me hyped because they were like, she just rolled her eyes at you, what you gonna do? And I was just like, I can't do anything, she's a teacher. So I was really, really upset, and for the whole period, I just looked down. Even though we were studying for a test, I could not even look at her because I was just so pissed. And even now, until this day, I will not look at her directly in the eye because she pissed me off that day.
My name's Sam. This is my story about 5 days that I threw up my freshman year. of high school. The first day of my freshman high school day, I took the bus and I had my new outfit on and I was all ready for freshman year. I'm really bad in cars and buses and just anything that has wheels. Like, I get sick and I throw up everywhere. So I was on my way to school and I was sitting next to my best friend. She had her outfit on. She was looking nice, too. And then as the bus was going on, I was just like, I'm getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And I was like, Maya, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to throw up. She was like, just wait. We have two more stops till we're at the school. And I was like, I really can't. And then the second time I said, I really can't, I threw up all over the place. I threw up on Maya also, so she was pretty upset. That whole week, I threw up everywhere, every day, every morning, on the bus, on Maya. Now let's check out the view from the streets of New Haven with our roving reporters, Melissa and Michaela.
Hello. Do you think religion tends to divide people or bring them together?
I think it does both. It depends on the religious community. Some folks use it as a lever to actually separate people. Because if you're not of a particular denomination, then you're not going to make it to heaven. And a lot of people preach that. And if you're not a particular religion, then that's a problem. But ultimately, religion exists to actually bring people together to help them heal, help us get along.
And speaking on getting along and everything, what is your definition of love?
Love is healing people, others, where they're hurt. Because if we all just took care of each other where the hurt was, pain would be handled.
Very true. Very well spoken.
Who are you supporting in the upcoming presidential election?
I don't know yet. I'm very undecided.
Are you getting ready for the world to end in 2012?
No. I have many, many, many more to come.
Do you believe in the separation of church and state?
I think it's a personal choice. Yeah, I think they should be separated, absolutely. That's my personal opinion. But everybody has their own opinion.
Why do you think so?
I think they're just two sacred things that should be separated. You want to keep religion separate from anything else. That's my opinion again, but everybody has their own.
Who are you supporting in the upcoming presidential election?
Obama.
Yes.
Thank you. Are you getting ready for the world to end in 2012?
No, I'm not. Transition, possibly, and maybe transcendence, but not world ending.
What is your definition of love?
My definition of love is God. God is love. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, the Son Jesus Christ, you know, the Son of God. And after that, it's love, you know, like romantic love, where a man and a woman meets and they fall in love and they get married.
If someone gave you $1 million, what is the first thing you would buy?
Season tickets to my favorite baseball team.
Who is your favorite baseball team?
Philadelphia Phillies.
Nice. Do you know who you're supporting in the upcoming election?
I have a thought about it, but I haven't made a decision.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Have you ever had an experience that took you into unknown territory where you felt slightly unhinged and slightly liberated? Then you might relate to Michaela Duran Creeland's account of an unusual recent adventure in a segment we're calling My Life Out of Orbit.
Hi, I'm Michaela. This one time I was having a really awful day, and I went to my therapist, and I went up the stairs to see her, and I go up the stairs. I'm already pretty upset. I'm like, oh, thank God I'm going here. I can finally talk to someone about this awful day I'm having. And I get up there, and I go to turn the knob, and it's locked, and the lights are off inside. And my dad, who had just dropped me off, I just turned around to look down the steps, and he's already turned away. He's already drove away. And I'm just like, S-word. And because I don't have a phone. And I go down the steps, and I go out the door, and I'm about to cry, and I'm just like, what do I do? So I'm thinking logically, so I go to the next place, the next building next to the therapist, and to try and use their phone, but that's gone. So I go to the next place down the road, and I keep going, and I keep looking, walking down the street. At night, it's about not that late, maybe 8 o'clock, and all of the shops are closed. So I'm just really freaking out. But finally, I see this one light across the street. It's a coffee shop. So I go in the coffee shop, and I go up to the cashier, and I say, you know, this is going to sound ridiculous, but can I please use your phone? I don't have one, and I really need to call my dad, who just dropped me off. And I sort of started, like, to tell her everything, and then I stopped myself because I was, why am I telling this random lady everything? And she's like, yeah, it's fine. Let me just dial the number for you. So she does. And I call my dad, and I ask him to pick me up, and I tell him where I am. And so he's coming. He's on his way. I'm standing in the coffee shop. Everyone's kind of staring at me, who's this strange girl trying to use the phone. And then I'm going to walk out, but I realize how cold it is, and I don't want to. So I'm standing in the middle of the room, and this man sitting there, he looks at me, and he goes, who are you? And I'm a little bit taken aback, because I've never met this man before, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't own the place. And he looks a little disheveled. And I said, what? And he says, I'm... he tells me his name, but I forgot it. Let's just call him Joe for now. I'm Joe. And I say, I'm Michaela. And he reaches out his hand, and we shake hands. And he looks at me, and we're both looking at each other, and there's this sort of connection, because I'm kind of distraught, and he's kind of distraught. And we're both sort of thrown out of our normal patterns for that second. And then I let go of his hand, and I look out the window, and I'm waiting for my dad. And he glances at me, and he says, not much scares you, does it? And I said, no, I guess after a while you stop getting scared.
What are your stereotypes about High School Musical taste? You might be surprised at the responses we got from 6 of our radio show producers when we asked them to play selections from their list of musical favorites. So let's get started with Kevin's choice of sounds.
What's up, Kevin? What was the name of the song and the artist?
It was called Lethal Injection, and it was by an Australian kid named Joe Robinson.
How did you come across Joe Robinson and this piece of music?
I was looking at this, this kid's band who was called Lethal Injection, and then there was a related video, so I clicked on it, and it was this guy, and so that's how I, like, found him out, like, surfing YouTube.
How would you describe the genre of this music?
I think it's kind of like a funky jazz type song.
Is this your favorite type of music?
Yeah. I listen to anything that's got a good guitarist and just an all-around good band. Like, jazz, rock, metal. I'm all-around genre music guy.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Corey.
I love you. Yeah, yo, a lot of square feet, chopping streets is the minimum. Uh-huh. Talk all subliminal, in love with a criminal. Yeah. It's all coming back to the pot, no chemicals.
So, Corey, what was that song that we were just listening to?
Hold You Down by Jadakiss.
Is this your favorite song?
Yes, it is, and my favorite artist.
And why is that?
I like Jadakiss because of his powerful punchlines and his lyrics, as well as his voice when he raps.
That was good, Corey. Thank you.
No doubt, Shouty.
So, Freeman, what kind of music is this, and why do you like it?
I guess you could call it metal, and I don't know, I just started to get into it my freshman year, and it's just what appeals to me now.
So how did you get into it? Did someone specifically introduce you to it, or what happened?
My friends were really into this music, and when they showed me it, that's how I kind of got introduced. And then I started looking up more stuff like it, and then I really got into it.
So what kind of a message do you think this music portrays?
Well, in this song, he's displaying a message that he really doesn't care what people are saying about him, or he's just, like, disregarding rumors. So I kind of like that attitude, and I think that's what really makes me like this song.
Are there any other genres of music that you listen to, or are you strictly metal?
I like all genres, really, but what I really listen to in my free time is metal.
Thank you.
Looking under my shoulder, looking over a boulder, there was something I told her about you.
Hi, I'm Michaela. That piece of music was Crunchy Joe by the band Goldfish featuring Sakhail Moleshi.
So, Michaela, why do you like this song?
I like this because it's fun to dance to, and I listen to a lot of different music for different reasons, and this happens to be in my selection for just things I like to dance to have fun with.
What do you think this song's about?
I think this song is about a girl who seems like an ex-girlfriend who he was dating, and then she just didn't want to, and then now she's asking for protection. He doesn't want to give her protection because she left him.
What do you think the title means?
Well, the title is Crunchy Joe. I believe it's about probably the guy who's writing it being a little bit stingy, maybe. A little crunchy. Not too soft.
Thank you, Michaela.
Thank you.
Yeah. I stare at my reflection in the mirror.
Hi, Melissa. What was the name of the song and the artist who sang it?
Well, the song was called Who You Are, and the artist was Jesse J.
What do you think the song is about?
Well, I believe that Who You Are basically sends out a message to everyone that it's okay just to act like the way you want to be, the way the real person inside of you is. And don't worry about all the critics out there and all the people that want to bring you down. It's just an uplifting song that makes you believe in yourself.
How did you find out about this song? Did you hear it on the radio or hear it from a friend?
Well, actually, one day I was just sitting home, bored, and I started to watch a movie. And this movie was Step Up 3, and the main character was walking down the street, and this song started to play, and I was like, whoa. I wasn't even paying attention to the whole movie. I was actually just listening to the song, and I said to myself, I have got to figure out who sang that song, because it's amazing.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you, Michaela. So, Paul, what is the song's name and who is the artist?
That's Kenny Barron, and the song is Beautiful Love.
So, what about Beautiful Love appeals to you?
Well, I've been playing jazz music for a long time, and I've played Beautiful Love before, and I wanted to go online and see how other people played it. So I went on YouTube and I searched the song, and I found this version, and I liked it.
How would you describe the genre of this piece?
I describe it as classical jazz music. It's a trio with a bass, drums, and Kenny Barron on piano.
Is Kenny Barron one of your favorite artists?
Yeah, I like Kenny Barron a lot. I listen to him often.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Melissa.
For this month's slice of creative writing, we call on Esme Douglas, an ECA writing major. Esme will be reading an excerpt from her amazing memoir, The Race Card.
When I look in the mirror, I can tell I've inherited my small facial features from my mother and my round chin and curly brown hair from my father. My skin color, however, a pale olive in the winter that easily tans in the summer, is a little harder to trace. "Is your dad black?" a girl asked me bluntly in third grade. "Yeah," I answered. "And your mom's white?" she said. "Yeah," I said again. "That's gross," she said, and walked away. I can still hear how the word gross sounded coming from her seven-year-old mouth. I couldn't believe that she would insult something about me that I couldn't change. One day, in sixth grade, my friend and I, typical middle school girls, were comparing our noses in a mirror. I said I thought my nose was too big, although secretly I thought her nose was bigger than mine. "All African Americans have big noses," she replied. Later, I would realize that many people think that using the label African American gives them license to say whatever offensive thing they want. When my mother and father met, they were in the fourth grade in Montclair, a suburb of Oakland, California, where my father's family was the only black family in their neighborhood. In 1965, this was a big deal, and he got into fights with unfriendly white kids. Even though my parents didn't date in high school, I looked through my father's high school yearbook and discovered that my mother had signed it with lots of hearts and X's and O's. My parents told me that they didn't begin dating until they were around 25, after my father returned home from a year of traveling in Europe. Later, they moved in together into an apartment my father's grandmother was renting out in Oakland, California, then the murder capital of the world. Drug dealers would swarm my mother's car whenever she got home. They thought the only reason a white person would visit their neighborhood was to buy drugs. That's where my parents learned what gunshots sound like, and that's why, even now that we live in North Branford, Connecticut, a town with an annual corn and potato festival, my mother is compulsive about locking the front door, locking the car doors, locking everything. When we first moved to North Branford, everyone raved about the good schools. I assumed they meant the school's academics, but I came to realize that by calling North Branford High School a really good school, many people mean that it's a really white school. At first, I was reluctant to tell my classmates that I'm black. At my high school, being black is something you can try out by listening to Lil Wayne or wearing Air Jordans and then give up when you get bored with it. When I tell my classmates about my ethnicity, they'd laugh and say, "Yeah, sure, I'm blacker than you." And soon, I began to feel that it didn't matter whether I told my classmates. I was as they perceived me, and that was it. Later, at a mandatory school meeting about diversity, a teacher commented on our school's low diversity rate. A kid in my grade replied, "Yeah, that's what we need, more black kids." The resulting pang in my stomach made me realize that it did matter whether I told people about my ethnicity, whether or not they approved or even believed me. "You're really half black?" they'll ask. "Yeah," I say. "Oh, wow," they say. "I never would have guessed," or "That's so funny," or "You don't look it." Once people get over the initial shock, they usually ask, "Why can't you dance?"
Kevin Wandelier is an ECA visual arts major who is also one of our Roadkill Radio producers. Recently, Michaela asked him to talk about his experience in his department, and soon discovered that his artistic journey has taken him well beyond just drawing and painting. Let's listen in on their conversation.
So, Kevin, what do you love about visual arts?
You can draw.
Do you do anything else besides drawing?
Shoot photos.
What kind of pictures do you take?
I shoot a lot of landscape and cars, like business stuff.
Is there any particular reason that you do that?
It's good money, and it's fun.
What's different about taking pictures that you like better than drawing?
I don't know. Photography's much more, it's on a harder level than just drawing.
Mm. Is this something you want to pursue as like a career, something you do when you go out of school?
Definitely.
Would you go to college for it, or would you just stop after high school?
No, I think I want to go to RISD, which is Rhode Island School of Design, and take courses up there.
What else can you tell me about the visual arts department specifically here at ECA?
The teachers are cool. A lot. A lot of cool.
A lot of cool. Do you have a favorite teacher?
Duda.
What do you like about him?
His name's Duda.
It's a pretty cool name, I'll admit, but I don't really know Duda, so could you tell me about him?
He's a hardcore motorcycle rider, and he's my photography teacher for Black and White, and he teaches how to shoot your camera, develop your photos, develop your film, how to design your photos and use certain settings on the camera to get different effects.
Tell me what's running through your mind when you're behind the camera and you're taking a picture.
How to set up my photo, like where I want the person to be in the frame. I usually don't like to center all my photos because that gets boring. Mm-hmm. So I try to cut off people and try to draw the viewer's eyes towards the thing I want them to see. And I can do that by burning edges, and burning is when you darken by adding light to certain parts of the picture, and it'll draw your eye to the center or wherever you want the photo to be.
That sounds awesome. That's like kind of like playing with perception.
Yeah.
Okay, Kevin, can we take a look at one of your photographs posted on your Facebook page?
No problem.
Can you tell us what we're looking at and how you came up with this photo?
What we are looking at is a photo I shot in Derby at the Derby Dam at low tide, and my camera had a wide-angle lens that was fisheye, aiming at the stars and getting the bottom of the dam in the photo. And my camera was open for 30 seconds, and I shot 100 photos at 30 seconds. And then I went back home, uploaded them all into a certain program I have, which stacks all of the photos. And when our planet moves with other planets surrounding, the stars in the sky will move around the North Star, creating a swirly effect with all the stars. So when stacked, there'll be streaky lines like a long exposure plane in the sky, but thousands of them.
Awesome. I really like how they all look like shooting stars, except there's only one actual one. And the way you described how you came about it sounds really cool and technical. Thank you, Kevin, for sharing your photo with us.
You're welcome.
The topic of religion is all over the news these days as Republican presidential candidates compete to out-pious each other in their debates and campaigns. But what role does religion play in the lives of young people, and how important should it be in our diverse democratic society? Let's listen in on a roundtable discussion on this topic with our Roadkill producers. To start off our discussion, I was wondering, Melissa, what role does religion play in your life?
Well, religion for me is the most important thing in my life. Since I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, there are a lot of rules and doctrines that allow me or prevent me from doing multiple things. And off of those, I basically base my whole morals and everything I believe in from that.
What does your religion prevent you from doing?
Well, as a Seventh-day Adventist, I cannot eat certain foods such as shrimp, pork, or anything of the like that are bottom feeders. Or I can, I don't go to church on Sundays. I go to church on the seventh day, as we believe is the holy day, which is Saturday.
And what about you, Freeman? What role does religion play in your life?
Well, since I'm an atheist, I don't have a religious code to live by. So I live by my morals and what I think is right. So that's how I structure what I do daily.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I thought that was very interesting, Freeman. My parents are atheists, but I am currently undecided.
So, Paul, why are you undecided?
Well, I just haven't figured it out yet.
Well, thank you, Paul. Haley, do you think a person needs religion to be ethical and know right from wrong?
Personally, I don't think that someone needs to have a religion to be moral or ethical, because I feel like you could be extremely religious and still not make the right choices. But if you don't have religion, you still have a mind and you can still decide what's right and wrong. I don't think it matters about your religion, just the type of person you are.
Cool. Melissa, do you think there's too much talk about religion in our political process?
To tell you the truth, I do. I feel that when we are
especially electing presidents or senators or anything of that nature, we take into account too much of the religion background of that person. I don't feel that it is necessary to base everything off of, he's a Christian or he's an atheist or he's Jewish. It's not so much what he is or what he was. It's more so about what he can do for our country, our state, and our basic government.
I agree, Melissa. I believe that politics shouldn't be based on religion, and it should just be based on how the person is brought up. I think a person should be elected on their own beliefs, but not their beliefs towards religion, and they're more their beliefs towards politics, and they should be elected to be a politician and not a religious person. So, Michaela, do you think religion tends to divide people or bring them together?
I think religion tends to divide people on a bigger scale, but bring them together on a smaller scale. Like within a community, religion brings people together. A lot of times there's certain neighborhoods who are fully Orthodox Jews or fully Christian, like Catholic Christian or something. And in that case, the community is unified. But on a bigger scale in our country and in our world, religion divides people. And especially since religion tends to discriminate towards other people. For example, I was raised Jewish, and in the Jewish religion, they teach that the Jewish people are the chosen people, and not necessarily that any other religion is bad, but that you shouldn't follow that religion because you're better than that, you're elite. Freeman, do you think that people are still discriminated against because of their religion in this country?
I don't think the discrimination is as bad in this country between religions, but I know atheists who think lesser of people who believe in God because they don't think they don't share the same belief, and I don't think that's okay, because because they have different beliefs doesn't make them any less intelligent. And between religions, discrimination still exists, but I don't think it's as bad as what it used to be, where people would not talk to each other because they had different religions. It doesn't divide them as much as it used to, but discrimination still exists.
Thank you, Paul, Freeman, Melissa, Shannon, Kevin, and Haley, for sharing your ideas and thoughts on this very controversial topic.
You've been listening to Roadkill Radio, produced by students at the Educational Center for the Arts in New Haven, Connecticut. Today's show was produced by
Corey Staggers,
Michaela Duran Creelan,
Freeman Demersion,
Haley Stevenson,
Kevin Wandelier,
Shannon Miller,
Paul Roller,
Melissa Matthews.
Roadkill Radio was produced under the supervision of Richard Hill by students in the radio class at ECA.
Special thanks to ACES Foundation and the Connecticut Commission on Culture and Tourism for their support.
Our Roadkill Radio theme music was composed and arranged by ECA student Andrew Stein Zeller and performed by Theo Papa George, Garrett Sullivan, Kevin Marr, Andrew Steinzeller, Mike Goodman, and Jesse Shevin.
The views and opinions expressed in this show are those of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of the Educational Center for the Arts or its staff.
Technical production by Gino Heiter of Heiter Music Studio in Milford, Connecticut.
Join us next month on WPKN for another edition of Roadkill Radio.